I remember very distinctly believing that God was who we were told he was and talking to him and feeling that he talked to me and having some experiences with him. How do I put that? Just with what turns out to be the leading of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in times of pain, even in times of sickness. I remember as probably a 12-year-old, I just suddenly felt very, very sick. We were at a concert and I kind of tucked myself away in a back room and I said, God, please heal me. Like that. I felt so much better. And that really just served to encourage my faith in the moment. So I really had a sense that he is real, he is with me, and I belong to him.
You're listening to Altered Stories with Michelle Renee Gutch.
Hello, Altered Story Show listeners, and welcome to my Season 3, Episode 128, Restored for Resilience, God's Story, featuring my lovely special guest here, Lori Schlissner. This is your Chief Storyteller host, Michelle Saunders Gutch, and thank you, friends, for listening and watching my show that helps women share their God stories so women around the world can hear them and never feel alone. Mm-hmm. You know, friends, I think I've shared that I don't know how many times, but I still have to stop and say, okay, what are we doing? Because there's so much involved in these stories. So we don't want anyone to feel alone in their struggles. Friends, I hope all is well. And can you do me a favor, please? If you've been affected by one of the God stories I've shared on this show, can you please let me hear from you? You can find me on Facebook or send me a direct message or comment on the story. And for those who leave a comment, I will send you one of my donated books that have been written by one of our amazing author women who have shared their God stories. Some of our books are Permission to Walk, written by the awesome Megan Evans, Unlovable, written by Maury Oslin, Heaven's Joy by Susan McKeldry, and I Love You, Mom by Blythe Daniel and her lovely mom, Dr. Helen McIntosh. Yeah. So now, friends, I am excited and honored to bring to my special guest, Lori, here. And as I mentioned, Lori Schlissner is her name. And let me just tell you what I learned about her. She was considered the odd duck in her family, friends. You know what that's like? That's hard. And she's an artist in a family of brainiac scientists and a writer, and her writing exudes a sense of wonder, curiosity, and awe of God and his creation. Isn't that awesome? She's a life coach who loves to garden. Oh, I love that about her. And encouraging people and nature in her God-given design. So now let's welcome her to the show. Welcome, Lori. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I just appreciate the warm welcome and the excellence of your content. Thank you for including me.
Oh, that's so cool. So do tell us more about who you are, Lori, outside of what you're going to share with your God story, but feel free to share what I may not have shared. There is a lot about you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes it's just a variety of content in any given person's life that can appeal to folks, right? In fact, when you said welcome, I had a different language come into mind because my husband and I are learning Scottish Gaelic right now because we're moving to Scotland. So that's the most, kind of imminent thing in my mind right now. Very, very excited that the Lord has opened a door for us to kind of minister to others in a new way. And just thrilled to see more of his creation and all of that is resilient about it and all the generative nature of his creation and the people that he's created. So just thrilled about that. What else comes to mind? You know, I'm a beekeeper. My husband and I keep bees. We've kept chickens. And as you alluded to, gardening is not only a huge part of my heart, but it's beyond a passion. It's important to me, the stewardship that we are tasked with of the resources that God has created. So taking care of the planet, taking care of us humans as stewards is part of what I do for folks. And that's what prompts a lot of my writing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get a hold of, you know, some of your content and really read through it when I have some time. And Lori, is there a purpose why you're going to Scotland? Is your husband a missionary, or is this part of his work commitments, or is this something you guys just have wanted to do and you can work it out around your careers and stuff? Or,
you know, kind of all of the above.
Yeah.
We absolutely fell in love with Scotland and just began to pray, you know, Lord, is this just our human nature, or is it you? And whatever his answer is, he has opened the door and opened another door and another door, such that this is actually an open door for us to move. He's a physical therapist and they need those more than anything in Scotland. So that just makes it easier for us to walk through that door. But their population, although very churched, you know, in history, I think only 3% of the population now attend church. And, you know, who knows what the statistics are on those who espouse the faith, but those who have such a strong faith in the Lord and a Christian faith, in Jesus as the Messiah, and their Redeemer, they're a dwindling much older population. So we would like to be available to encourage the younger populations in their faith. That wouldn't be full-time missionary work so far as we know, but more lifestyle evangelism. Certainly a part of that.
You know, lifestyle evangelism is huge. I don't think people give it enough credit. So we will wish you well. You know, it'd be so cool if I was interviewing you and you were in Scotland.
You're welcome to come visit.
Maybe one day I'll be able to visit.
Please do.
I think it's a beautiful country. I don't know enough about it, but I'm excited for you. So thank you for sharing that. And Lori, you know, I do enjoy sharing these God stories all over the world. And right now, I think I shared with you, we're in about 65 countries. It's really exciting to see the growth, even in those very hard to reach countries. So I'm just grateful that we have this technology and that we can reach. So that's why we're doing video and audio, because some people, they just can listen, you know, they can't go on and watch.
Right.
But we want to have all options. But why do you think it's important for women to share their God stories? Why, even within the body of Christ or even men? I mean, why do you think it's so important to share God's stories?
I apologize for interrupting you. I'm so excited to answer, I suppose. Well, we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that I'm great at being a member of the body of Christ and supporting others, but certainly that is fundamental to our faith. From the get-go in scripture, you know, God has obviously shown himself to be relational, and that's what we are to be. We're not considering ourselves as islands, right? But to encourage, challenge, inspire, not to be each other's Holy Spirit, but to remind one another. I certainly have relied on women, even when I walked away from the Lord for a few years.
Yeah.
The women that he sent to me were absolutely key in me just opening my heart back up to him and receiving his call back into his heart. So that's my personal experience. And as I'm older, I'm 57 now, I can see how I'm kind of moving into more of that role where the younger women are occasionally saying, hey, do you have a moment? I'd love to pass something by you. You know, that kind of life experience too is just a practical matter in how we encourage each other to live as members of one body of faith.
Yeah. Oh, that's well stated, I think.
Thank you.
So I really do love that. So we're going to be able to have you share your story today. And so, Lori, where does your Restored for Resilience God story begin? Walk us back and then take us through as the Lord leads you to where you are in your faith journey. So we would love to hear that, to be encouraged.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. And I hope that as I share my story here and elsewhere, that I am actually giving the glory to the Father, you know, the one who created me and has been so gracious to me. It's so easy to start thinking about the details of my life and where I've had, you know, utilized agency and those kinds of things. But we're dual nature beings, right? We live in the flesh each moment, and we live in the spirit each moment. As his. So I try to be mindful of that every moment that I walk in the flesh and that I'm looking at the details of this sentient life. I'm also alive to his spirit and in his spirit and hopefully available to him. But my story starts when I was very young. Somehow God graced me with a true faith of my own when I was a little girl. I was raised in the Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church became very open to the spirit and the truth of the gospel. I'm not saying that Lutheranism isn't open to it, but our church in particular had been a little bit dry and really came to life. And I took that seriously and developed a love for scripture and a love for kind of the rudiments of faith, the rituals that we go through, the hymn singing and communion and those kinds of things. And the Lord just honored that, created that and honored that in me. So I was well fed in the gospel. And my mom was a supreme prayer warrior. She really instilled in me the necessity of a praying lifestyle, praying throughout the day and interceding for others as well. So that has been a piece of me all through my formative years. I was, as you alluded to, being kind of an odd duck, I was definitely the black sheep of the family. And I never felt like I belonged anywhere. That's not because of my family, but just who I am by nature. And just kind of was a little confused in teenagehood, as most are. But I started visiting, as soon as I had a car, I started visiting other churches. And I tell you, I've been through probably every kind of church that you can attend in the United States. And I was able to kind of be discerning in what are these pieces, parts that really speak of the Lord and our relationship with the Father? And what are the parts that are extraneous or maybe distracting away from our relationship with the Lord? And that was a huge help to just experience a lot of that church culture. In college, I married very young, right in the middle of college, and had my two daughters in that marriage. Unfortunately, there was some mental illness there, and it was a very, very difficult way to live those 11 years. And I did serve the Lord during that time and fasted and prayed and wasn't seeing the Lord move. And I knew he could, and I knew he loved me, but became really frustrated. And I let that frustration just become entrenched. And that's a problem. I wasn't so receptive of what God's plan was through this. I think it would be called a wilderness of preparation now in retrospect, but I became very impatient. That's one of the reasons, but there were other reasons that I ended up taking my children and departing from that marriage. And, you know, that's just, it's hard all the way around, hard on the kids, hard on us as adults. So that's been impactful in my life. And then shortly thereafter, I just turned away from the Lord. I had some help. I leaned on some folks who kind of were really encouraging me to disbelieve what I had believed. I just was confused and tired. So I walked away. And, you know, I can honestly say there's no more dead feeling than to have walked with the Lord and see how he walks with me daily in and out all the freedom and the moments of life that he gives us than to turn away from it. Everything about life just felt hard. Every little moment, difficult, like trudging, just and terrible, you know, in an emotional and spiritual way. Thank God that he sent, I know I can remember a particular lady who ministered to me. She was quite forthright in her evangelism. And I kept saying, you know, I know all that. Yeah, yeah, thank you. But she was interceding for me and my kids. And the Lord just spoke very loudly and clearly and said, I want you to go to this church. I want you to come back in. And I did. I did. So somehow I just was able to receive his love and his mercy and his welcome back. I had wondered, have I grieved the Holy Spirit too much? You know, have I crossed the line? Will he have me back? But he made it very clear that he wants us. He wants that intimacy with us. And he wants us under his wing and to protect us and all of those things. So thank God things have improved from that point. That was in my early 40s. And in the past, I don't know, 17 years, I've spent about that amount of time in that one church, which is very Bible-based, very solid in love for the Lord and his word. And the Lord sent me a husband who absolutely loves him, wonderful man. And we've been married 13 years. My kids are now grown, and I have seen life flourish in, I think, the ways that the Lord would like it to flourish, and not just my own ways. I've got a long way to go. That's kind of the long and short of it.
Well, there's a lot there that we can unpack.
There is
a lot there. So let's talk about, like, your first experience with Jesus, like when you made that decision to receive him as your Lord and Savior. What was that like?
You know, I don't have just one of those moments. Mm-hmm. It's very clear to me that I did make that kind of a dramatic, emotional decision in my early teens. And I think a lot of us did in the 80s, you know, there would be a wonderful concert, we'd come through town, and it's very emotional and exciting. And I kind of recommitted. But as an early, in my early childhood, I remember mm-hmm. very distinctly believing that God was who we were told he was and talking to him and feeling that he talked to me and having some experiences with him. And how do I put that? Just with what turns out to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the presence mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit in times of pain, even in times of sickness. I remember as probably a 12-year-old, I just suddenly felt very, very sick. We were at a concert, and I kind of tucked myself away in a back room, and I said, God, please heal me. And like that, wow. I felt so much better. And that really just served to encourage my faith in the moment. So I really had a sense that he is real, he is with me, and I belong to him. So I guess that kind of sums it up.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty precious. So, so the journey, when you made the decision to step away from your Christianity, let's lean into that a little bit. Now, the reason I bring that up is because my husband also did that prior to God bringing him into my life. And I know I walked away from God, from trauma mm-hmm. and other experiences, and just didn't believe. I divorced God. I didn't think God loved me, cared about me. And I didn't really believe there was a God mm-hmm. per se, that God helps those who help themselves. And I mean, I fell deep into that thinking for some time because of things that had happened and what my expectations were of God and what didn't happen. So I want to lean into that a little bit, because a lot of times it's our timing of what we want God to do. And when God doesn't do what we want the way we want, then we just, oh, he isn't here. He doesn't exist. And there are people out there that are still like 90 years old.
Yeah.
And they still don't believe in God because of that kind of circumstance or situation. So can you share just a little bit more for us about your experience and why you chose that stepping away?
Comfort. I wanted instant comfort, I think. There's no question that I went through many years of agonizing pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, confusion. I felt abandoned. I had been abandoned even in my marriage. It was excruciating. And I just said, Lord, I don't think that you meant for me to feel this way, but he didn't stop it. And I just thought, well, let me just do something different. You know, maybe he really doesn't care. And I know on paper, and I know in my logical mind, I could tell you all day long that that's a dumb idea. But yeah, when you're in the midst of it, and not making any excuses for my sinful choices, but when you're that worn down, it's pretty easy for the enemy to come in and go, why don't you look over here? You know, and that's what happened. I wouldn't go into details, but I will say, I think the enemy of God, who's quite present in scripture, it's amazing the things that he or it can do to deceive us. The lies aren't usually very obvious. He can't kill our spirit. He can only deceive us and kill our, you know, physical bodies. I think if I understand, that's the only power he has. But the kinds of things that I, in retrospect, was hearing from what I'm certain was the enemy, really amazingly beautiful on the surface, exciting on the surface, not obvious, you know, lies or sin or deception. I wouldn't give him or it any credit, except that I think that we need to be extremely careful. That darkness is very dark. There's no light in it. And the only salvation for us is the Lord Jesus. And I have walked that, you know, in real life. And it's just, wouldn't recommend it to anyone, no matter the things that you learn from it that are positive. It's not worth it.
Right there is so telling. What you just said, do you know how many people have really said that to other people? What you said is so incredibly powerful. I'm going to tell you right now, Holy Spirit is working all over me right now.
Glad to hear it.
Because you talked about that desolation and the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people who've talked through death after death experiences, some who have talked about this darkness and not seeing any light and just the horrible isolation and the depths of that. For those that weren't going toward the light, weren't going to be meeting Jesus. Yeah. And so the fact that people don't think this stuff is real, it's real. It's very, very real. And so I'm so grateful that you came back.
Me too.
You know, so tell us about this experience of the person who had the light that drew you in. You used an interesting word to describe her. And it was, I mean, she must have had you as her assignment.
I think so. And yeah, she's still my friend. I think I can safely say, Jan, if you're listening, and that's all I'll say. How do I summarize that? I moved to Nashville and was just trying very hard to believe that God wasn't real and that all of that had been lies and very self-serving. But I kept running into this person. And oddly enough, I had... It's kind of a wild card here. I'm a linguist. I love foreign languages. I love language learning. And I had learned quite a lot of French before I moved to Tennessee in 2001. And I ran into a lady randomly. We started a very tiny French, advanced French class in my home. And it probably lasted all of 6 weeks before my second husband left very quickly. And I canceled the class. Sorry, it's over. Jan was part of that class and she kept bumping into me in town. Whoops, you know, and just very forthright about, hey, then I'm praying for you, you know, that you may know the Lord, those kinds of things. And she's still in my life and part of my church and just a
so good,
convicting soul. You know, if I were that evangelical, and I tried to be, I aspire to be, but what a fireball. And absolutely the Lord brought her to mind time and time again. That she's the indicator that he wanted me. I hope I said that well. He doesn't need me, but he loves me. He wants us. He loves us and he longs for us to be intimate with him. And that reconnection, I think, is what this whole life is about. Coming back to him, that regenerative life that he offers us, bringing us back, giving us the time. What a wonderful gift.
Well, and this is so timely with Easter and you know, all of, you know, that whole resurrection and, you know, the whole God story around it.
Yeah, you know? You're speaking my language now, especially because of gardening being such an incredible picture, a symbolic picture of that.
Yeah, it is such a great depiction. So, okay, well, so when you were going through this journey and you came back to the Lord, I mean, you, in his eyes, you were always there, but he pursued you and continued and you said, no, 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 God, leave me alone. You know, this isn't real, blah, blah. But I mean, were there scriptures that you would kind of think about, or where, what were the God words, or, you know, what brought you to, you know, your thinking, to, were they from the Bible is what I'm trying to ask. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I live in scripture. I inhale it. I eat it. I feed on it daily, which I believe we're meant to do. Admittedly, the scripture references don't always come when I'm being interviewed for a podcast.
Oh, always. I struggle with them. I'm serious. I have to write it down. It's crazy.
Well, but I will say Proverbs 3:5-6, I think, is
my
correct.
Favorite.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own comprehension, but acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he will direct your path. And whew, that really spoke to me. That's kind of my life verse. It was one of my mom's favorites.
Mine.
I carried it my whole life. And yet I recognized that I was trying to logic my way through these periods of time. Why isn't the Lord helping me out of this miserable situation that I had been in early on in marriage? Why isn't he? I was trying to think about it, logic it, because, you know, I come from that scientific family, very, you know, let me see how this works out. Very kind of not rigid, but black and white thinking. I want to see it flesh out. That's not exactly the way we're made. That I don't think our design is what's clear. Our design is not strictly to be logical brain beings. God gave us a spirit. He gave us emotions for good reason. So sometimes just having to let go of that control, a lot of times, let's be honest, having to let go of that control and say, it doesn't make sense on paper, but I'm just going to trust him. And wow, the amazing things that we see in our lives when we do that. It's just incredible. So that's certainly one of them. I mean, I've always loved the prophets. I'm an Old Testament girl, although New Testament, you know, the Messiah, Christ Jesus, is imperative to my faith and to our life. The Psalms, you know, David and others who wrote the Psalms, telling us what that wilderness actually looks like, but the faith that's consistent in the wilderness and in the times of celebration, let's say, and overcoming those folks, and let's say Jeremiah, you know, Ezekiel, so many people's stories, real people's stories, are right there for us to remind us we can actually walk through these dark times and come out okay. And a lot of times it's the Lord who wants us to walk through that, doesn't love seeing us hurt. I don't believe he intends us to, but suffering is a part of our life and our faith as humans. Jesus said we are to expect it, that we're not here for just peace and joy and happy times. We're here for the Good Friday as much as we are for the Easter resurrection. And I'll tell you, I'm just going to throw it in there because it's on my heart right now. In the gardening and in the book that I wrote about kind of walking with God and in creation and in his garden and learning about him through his creation, I'm so reminded of this, the seed. And I don't want to be trite here, but we put the seed deep in the soil. Most of them, not all of them, we put them deep in the soil in the darkness and they generate there. They open up in that quiet darkness. And what did Jesus do? You know, he died for us. And then there was that time of, let's call it waiting, death, regeneration in the tomb, in the dark tomb that absolutely looked dead to Mary and the other disciples and to, I'm sure, lots of other folk. But then that miraculous life happened and, you know, resurrected Christ our Lord for my sin, on my behalf, on our behalf. That's so like the poppy seeds out in my garden right now. I'm thinking they're dead. We just had a sub-zero freeze, you know. Oh. Here they come out of the darkness, out of the silence, springing up, reaching, oops, I just hit my mic, reaching up towards heaven, towards God, and then producing these incredible, unthinkable, beautiful flowers and for our joy and for the pollinators and for life and food and all of those things that we need. Those are beautiful. They're not just stories. Those are real regenerative moments. Moses put in the basket. He was a seed. Jonah in the whale. That was his dark, silent time before he was sprouted out by the whale. Noah and his family in the ark. Those, I just love those word pictures, as you can tell. Thank you for letting me share that.
Oh, no. This is like you coming out, which is so, I mean, it's who you are, and it's good because then people can understand your heart. And then, you know, when they pick up your book, which is, what's the name of your book?
Bloom Lori? And Grow. Bloom and
okay.
Grow.
Right. Bloom and Grow. Yeah, let's see it. Can you show it up here?
Does that come up the right way, or does it look
it's
backwards?
Beautiful. No, the cover is just beautiful.
I like it. Very happy and, you know, buoyant, kind of slightly flamboyant the way I am. But thanks to Broad Street Publishers for that and for the cover particularly. And thanks
they're
to
so
the Lord
awesome
for allowing me to write that.
Yeah.
And the reason it's called Bloom and Grow is because my business, I'm not here to talk about business, but my business is all called Bloom. And that's my writing, my artwork, my garden design that I do for others sometimes. All of those bits are, did I say life coaching? Life coaching.
Yeah,
I've called them Bloom because that they each spring from this kind of a core mission. I feel like the Lord has given me the chance to flesh out, and that is to support the sustainable thriving of people and the planet. I have to be careful how I word that because people think, oh, she's a, you know, she's kind of a fanatic, off-base, she hugs trees, or, you know, I don't think that that creation is God and God is creation. I don't believe that. I'm not pantheistic, but it is his creation. He made it clear from Genesis 1, we are to live with it and work with it. And so that is who I am, kind of fleshed out in all the different areas of my life, helping people thrive, helping creation thrive in sustainable ways, according to how God made us.
And it aligns with the Restored for Resilience.
Absolutely. And,
right?
You know, resilience doesn't always look like flourishing. Mm-mm. It doesn't always look like the flower. Mm-mm. Sometimes it looks like the dieback and the wilting down and the wilderness moments and the silence and the questioning. But God is always restoring. And thanks be to him, you know, the Lord will come back and make all things right and bring us with him. I'm so thrilled.
Yes.
What a joy for that.
Yes. And Scotland, can you tell us a little bit about the landscape there?
That's a tall order.
Is that a lot? I love it.
Well, I love the land. It's odd. I grew up in Alabama, though my folks are Midwesterners, and there was a cotton field on one side and a cow pasture on the other. And believe it or not, they're still there. They haven't been taken over by contractors. But I just remember thinking, this is beautiful. But I don't ever want to be in the farming community. I'm out of here, you know, as soon as I graduate. And then I became, of course, a farmer, kind of a gardener at home, and have chickens and honeybees. So that's funny. But I've always been a creature of the landscape. I was terribly shy growing up and kind of a, not a loner, but I spent a lot of time riding my bike and walking around the trees and looking at the flowers and barefoot in the grass. So I've seen a lot of landscapes. I've been to Europe. Thank God for that opportunity. And the Virgin Islands and France and Italy, just some gorgeous places. And there's something about Scotland. And just about everyone I've ever talked to who's been there says, wow, it's just incredibly beautiful on a different level. So it's hard to express, except that for a Christian, and this might sound flaky, but I'm just going to say it like it is for me. There's a presence of God there that's so intense. And I've had other people say that. My husband says that. I'm not sure why he would do that in a particular place. But there were times we'd be hiking. I remember just sitting down on a rock and weeping. And it wasn't because I was tired, but just the presence of the Lord, so thick. So I can't justify that again. That's, you know, not something logical, but something very real spiritually to me. So that, but also the worldview there, the folks that God allowed to live on that continent in history have such a strong sense pervading through all parts of society. We're here for each other. Whereas here, and thank God for the freedoms we have in this country, but here, by and large, we're raised with, you're here for you. You take care of yourself. You guard what you've got, you know, protect yourself. And that fleshes out through all parts of culture and ages. And it's a very distinct difference when you go there. So it's a pleasure to be around that, especially as a Christian, when we want to remember we're all God's children. And we're part of the body of Christ, and we're meant to support one another. It's a little bit easier when kind of the whole society agrees with that in general.
Well, God is a global God. That's why I have a global mission. That's
So
why I bring a
thankful.
global perspective. That's why I want global. I'm not a globalist. I have people say, "Don't say you're a globalist." I'm like, "I'm not. I'm not. I'm." But what I am is a person that believes that God embraces all around the world. He's the God of the universe.
Absolutely. All of it is his.
All of it.
I love the
So,
reminders when people say, you know, Jesus probably wasn't that white,
no,
powder-faced pastel
probably
one that
was
we grew up with,
Jewish.
right? And we are not the center of the universe here in the States, although it's kind of easy to think that sometimes our land mass is so big. But I appreciate what you do. There's so many languages that need to be covered and the gospel spread everywhere.
I'll think about you, man. We
Thank
could
you.
use a linguist or someone that could help us at some point with translations, things like that for women or interpretations, that kind of stuff. But it's just so cool. I think the language arts are amazing. I've only studied a little. I wish I had more time.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. The fruit of your ministry is, you know, huge. So thank you.
Wow, it's so cool that you see it. It's so cool that you're our guest in the timing that we need you to be in. It's all ordained, and I'm just grateful. And so, Lori, as we wrap up, tell us a little bit about how you can be reached, and then any last words that you may have for your listeners, the listeners here, and how we could best support you too.
Thank you. I can be reached at bloomlifecoach.com. It's just bloomlifecoach.com. I have to say this caveat. For me particularly, the Lord had convicted me probably 10 years ago to not spend my time on social media. I'm there and I must be, of course, for the sake of marketing the book that he was gracious enough to allow me to write, because we want people to hear that message. you know, and walk with him daily. But I try not to encourage people to go spend their time on social media. That said, because there's so many ways to spend our time that he would love, you know, to use and to bless. But I am on Facebook by my name. It's actually Lori Swallow Schleissner. You can put that in the notes for people to see. It's such a complicated double last name. And then I have an Instagram account that I think fundamentally is the same. You can find me by my name. And I do post about the Lord, and I post a lot about the planet, the earth, gardening in particular, nature, and how we live with God moment by moment, hour by hour, in a one integrated way of living.
That's beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you again. And now, friends, we're going to take a minute and listen to Sherry's mental health tip. And as I mentioned, Sherry is a licensed professional mental health counselor that we partner with. And God brought her to us. And so give a listen to her tip this episode.
Hello, friends. This is Sherry Puckett, licensed professional counselor. And today I want to talk about roadblocks that keep you from entering into your destiny. And one of the major roadblocks that I want to talk about today has to do with your thought process and jealousy. Jealousy and comparison. How many times do we feel insecure whenever we're around someone that we deem to be better? Maybe they are more charismatic, more gifted. Maybe they are beautiful or super talented, whatever it is, something rises up in us and we just shrink back and we compare ourselves and we feel jealousy and all of these different destructive thought processes. God does not want us to walk in jealousy. In fact, jealousy is a sin. It makes it really difficult and challenging because we have social media now and we're constantly being fed these images of these quote unquote perfect people, and we are driven to succeed and to somehow become more and more like them instead of who God created us to be. So first of all, the first step would be, okay, acknowledging I have a jealousy issue or comparison issue, whatever you want to call it, and then get before the Lord and just repent of it. The second thing I want to do is to talk about those things are cognitive distortions. They're not real. Those are like things that Satan puts into our minds and into our society to keep us from fulfilling the things that God has called us to do. So the first step, I believe, would be, what is my heart posture and why do I struggle with jealousy? I want to go into scripture and use an Old Testament example of how you can see the difference and how you can understand that you are still human, make mistakes, and yet you can have a heart after God like King David did. So if we look at Saul was appointed king by God, but he sinned against God. And therefore, the prophet Samuel told him, the kingdom is going to be taken away from you. Saul pleaded, please don't take my kingdom away from me. He was so sorry, pleaded, please don't do this to me. And yet God took the kingdom away from him. And then we look at David. David sinned. We all know about David's sin. He was not a perfect person. And yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. But listen to this. When David prayed after he sinned, he didn't pray, don't take my kingdom away from me. He said this in Psalm 51, 10 and 11. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. This is key. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do you see the contrast? Saul prayed, do not take my kingdom away from me. David prayed, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. In other words, you can take everything, but do not take your spirit from me. That is the first step to conquering any kind of jealousy. So we pray that God would renew a right spirit within us and that we would long for his presence more than the things of this world. That would mean anything that this world has to offer. God, I desire you above all things. And when we allow God to do that work in our hearts, jealousy just starts to fall off. It just falls off. And so my challenge to you is to pray like David did and say, you know what, God, I'm not perfect, but I want to crave you. Change my heart, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, and then long for his presence. Long for a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. And as you grow more intimate with God, jealousy just has no place there. All right. Remember, we're going to renew our minds to become more like Jesus. All right. Thank you. And you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
And until the next show, friends, be heard and be healed.
Altered Stories Ministry is a faith-based, nonprofit, and women's evangelistic storytelling ministry. If you enjoyed listening to today's story, your family and friends would probably benefit from hearing how God works in the lives of women all over the world, too. So please, subscribe to our show and share the link to this podcast. Share it on your social media. We also welcome your valued feedback on our stories. Also, we'd appreciate your prayerful consideration in sponsoring one of our future God-glorifying stories and welcome your tax-exempt financial donation. To find out more on how you can support our ministry, you can log on to our website at www.alteredstories.org.